98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
We're going to start the 4 o'clock reset with the news Sarah just had in their Sports Center update just a moment ago. A statement from the New Orleans Saints. We are monitoring Tropical Storm Ida, and we'll have more definitive information tomorrow morning from which we can make the safest decision possible relative to the game on Saturday. We are in touch with city officials, the National Weather Service, Homeland Security, and the NFL. Cardinals, of course, are playing the Saints on Saturday, and a tropical storm has at least put into some kind of question the safety of playing that game, depending on when it hits landfall. So, something to keep an eye on.
Sure.
And that news, that statement was just released by the Saints a moment or two ago. Speaking of that game, Cliff Kingsbury made it official earlier today. No surprise, Kyler Murray will not play Saturday in the final preseason game of
the year. No surprise at all. The only surprise is that Cliff told us. That's the biggest surprise. Cliff actually mentioned that he's not going to play.
Surprise.
That was a surprise. Surprise!
It was still like pulling teeth, but eventually he did tell
us.
Now, along those lines, Gambo did drop a little knowledge on us earlier today, saying he's hearing Andy Isabella will make the Cardinals roster no matter what happens this weekend.
I expect he's going to make the roster. I do. I expect he's going to make the roster.
Cliff Kingsbury earlier today on how Isabella has looked this week.
He did some good things the last couple of days. You can tell he's dialed in, and he's really got a chip on his shoulder after missing 15 days. He's a guy who works really hard at his craft, and you can tell he was mad he had to miss those days and just come back and execute at a high level.
Four really good practices for Andy Isabella. Look, this. You know, you got to factor in a couple of different things. A.J. Green's on a one-year deal. Who knows if he's going to be here next year? Christian Kirk's got 1 year left on his deal. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, with a guy like that who is a second-round pick, he hasn't been targeted a whole lot. He's a guy that they want to continue to keep. How long, I don't know, but I do not expect him to be traded, and I do not expect him to be cut. I fully expect that he will be on this roster.
You also expect that Josh Jones will be the starting right guard when it's all said and done.
I do. I know there's a lot of competition for that position. You got Justin Murray, you got Brian Winters, but Josh Jones has had an outstanding camp, and I think he'll be one of their top five offensive linemen. I think that he will be the starter at right guard over Winters or Justin Murray. Both of those guys missed some time, but I think just the way Josh Jones has played, I think he's going
to
get it.
Robert Alford is heading to the COVID reserve list, while the Cardinals' week one opponent, when the regular season starts, the Titans, now have seven players in protocol, including their starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, two coaches as well. Here's Cliff on Robert Alford.
He's in the protocol.
Or a 5 day?
He was vaccinated, so hoping it'll be a 5 day. Still has to test out of it.
Yeah, all these teams dealing with the different rules and the criteria and the qualifications and things like that. But being a vaccinated player, the path for him returning is much easier than a non-vaccinated.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So that's good news, right? I mean, anyway, you know, we've seen guys miss time. I mean, Isabella missed like 15 days of practices altogether. So this is, you know, you're hopeful that Alford's going to come back and be able to play this year. He's been on the roster for 3 years now. We haven't seen him play. This is his third year with the team.
Our top story of the day comes to us from college football and the Pac-12 in particular. This is something we've expected for the last couple of days. It was made official today, a statement released by the Pac-12, quote, following consultation with our presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors, the Pac-12 conference has made the decision to not pursue expansion of our membership at this time.
Not surprised. You know, we got wind that they'd be unlikely to expand the other day, and we talked about how unlikely it was. They wouldn't add BYU, they wouldn't add Boise. You look west, there wasn't much out there that you could add it. They weren't going to add Nevada or UNLV or any of those programs, you know, out west. So, you know, you could look east to see if you wanted to take somebody, you know, from the Big 12. Could you look to Oklahoma? Could you look to Texas, that area, maybe get somebody? But in the end, the chancellors and the presidents are the ones making the decision, not the Pac-12 commissioner, not the ADs. And academics is at the forefront of what they care about the most, and they just decided there was not a team worth bringing into the conference.
Yeah, and so assuming that, at least for now, the other conferences in the alliance, the Big Ten and the ACC, make the same conclusion and kind of leave the Big 12 alone, so to speak, What now for the Big 12? And how aggressively do they pursue expansion as a means to keep themselves relevant in the college football world?
I think, you know, their strength was when they had Texas and Oklahoma. You take Texas and Oklahoma away, who are they better than? What conferences are they better than? I mean, you know, they're not going to be able to take from a conference that is on equal footing to them or even better. We talked about the AAC and that conference. That's a strong conference. You're not going to be able to take any of them. I wouldn't want to leave the AAC for the Big 12 now with what the Big 12 has. So I just don't know if what they're going to be able to do. I think that they try to add. I think you look to see if you can add. You're never going to be able to add anybody at the level of, you know, Texas or Oklahoma. What program could come in and make you a little bit better? They've got to do some fact-finding missions to figure that out.
Yeah, it seems more likely the AAC would raid the Big 12 than the Big 12 raiding the AAC.
Yes.
And the complication with that, and we talked about this when this whole deal went down, in some ways, the SEC, you could argue ESPN, are rooting for the AAC to raid the Big 12. So the Big 12 falls apart. So Texas and Oklahoma can get out of the Big 12 faster than they're otherwise scheduled to do. And we can get a jump start on the SEC having Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, there are probably some in college football who are very much rooting for the Big 12 to just absolutely fall apart. So Texas and Oklahoma, there'll be no Big 12 for them to leave. No $80 million departure fee for them to pay. They just leave, they go, the Big 12 falls apart, and Texas and Oklahoma can do it whenever they want. You better believe that's what they're rooting for, right?
Well,
that's what they want.
We've seen the Big 12. I mean, they've found ways to survive. But without their two big, you know, without the anchor tenants, right? That's like Texas and Oklahoma are the anchor tenant at the mall.
Indeed.
That's your Macy's and your Nordstrom's. Like, you know, when you lose the anchor tenants, it's, you know, the other schools are all the little shops inside. And, you know, so there's not the draw. Nobody wants you're drawn to the mall to go to Nordstrom's or Macy's. Not drawn to the, you know, what?
I like the mall. I like it. I'm laughing.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's like Wetzel's Pretzels.
What are you saying? Wetzel's Pretzels isn't a draw at the mall?
No, I love them. They're fantastic. I think they're great.
I would go to the mall just for Wetzel's Pretzels.
I do sometimes. Well, trust me. See, salted?
Texas is the Wetzel's Pretzels here, not Macy's, right. Not Nordstrom's. they're the Wetzel's Pretzels.
Speak of Wetzel's Pretzels
that
way.
Do not speak ill of Wetzel's Pretzels, man. Come on.
In Iowa State's the See's Candy.
There you go.
Those little... Just trying to think of some shops in the mall.
So the Journeys or the...
Where you go get the Bob Ross puzzles.
I'm trying to think of the places that my daughter likes to go to in the mall. Oh, the little Spencer's gift store.
Does that still exist?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Do malls still exist?
Yeah.
Fashion Square is thriving.
Yeah, Fashion
Square. Thriving.
Santan Village out by my house is an outdoor mall, but it's doing okay. Yeah, it's doing all right. But yeah, Wetzel's Pretzels, man. Now, thanks a lot.
I want that.
What? You
that's
want the pretzels
I'm, that's
now?
All I'm going to think about for the rest of the show. Wetzel's Same. Pretzels, right? You too?
Yes, absolutely. The cheese sauce.
Do you get the salted or the cinnamon or what do you get? The plain?
Unsalted.
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 Oh, I go
and the
salt.
Cheese
I go to the
cheese
salted.
Sauce. All right,
those bags
go.
Are freaking addicting. Sometimes we're in the mall, we pass those, like that place, or what's the other one? Annie's?
Oh, man. Auntie Anne's.
Auntie Anne's.
Yes.
Auntie Anne's.
Oh,
those things are.
I'll take both.
I know, they're so good.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Sarah, you got time in between updates?
I do. I can drive quick. I mean, if y'all need some pretzels.
I mean, you sometimes you'll record them when they benefit you. You can put one in the can for the benefit of all of us if you want.
Absolutely.
Just saying that would give you time to go make
a
little Wetzel's
pretzels. I do have a weakness for those
run.
Damn pretzels.
100%.
Okay, all right. We'll see if we can make that happen. It's probably not going to, but whatever. When we come back, Kyler Murray is a no-go Saturday against the Saints. Will any of the Cardinals be playing on Saturday? We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from the Auction Community Studios, we are Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday. Saints, the New Orleans Saints, 45 minutes ago released a statement. We are monitoring Tropical Storm Ida, and we'll have more definitive information tomorrow, Friday morning, from which we can make the safest decision possible relative to the game on Saturday. We are in touch with city officials, the National Weather Service, Homeland Security, and the NFL. A quick Google search, and I'm on CBS News' website, and I'm looking at the track of this tropical storm that could become a hurricane. And it, by game time, it the path has basically New Orleans right in the middle of it. But it doesn't appear to be around the New Orleans area until Sunday. So would they try to play the game?
I don't know.
And nobody knows the answer to that.
How do you get out of there?
You got to get out of there.
You can't get out of there then, if it's Sunday.
Yeah, and that's like the eye of the hurricane, I think, is supposed to be there at 2 o'clock. So you're still going to have storms moving in even before the eye of the hurricane.
Can't cancel the damn thing.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I know where it's at now. I see kind of – and, of course, these models change every single hour, you know, temperature of the water, the wind, all of that stuff. But the Saints say they're monitoring the storm, and they'll have more to say about it tomorrow. Yeah. The Cardinals are supposed to play in New Orleans Saturday afternoon.
I would imagine finale. That, I mean, based on that, you just got to keep your eye on it. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe that game's in jeopardy.
Yeah, but you got to, I mean, for the
you got to fly there.
Yeah, from the Cardinals standpoint, you have to tell them whether they're coming or not by tomorrow, right? I mean, because tomorrow's Friday, game's on Saturday. They leave tomorrow probably early to mid-afternoon. You need to know whether you're even making that trip or not before you get on the plane.
Could you switch the game to Arizona?
You probably could. Maybe. It would. There'd be a lot of moving parts, but I would think it'd be possible if you wanted to. Yes.
You got plenty of time.
I don't think it would be impossible. I think it would be possible
Yeah, I don't know enough about it. I'll try to find out, but
Is a job fair at State Farm Stadium on Saturday.
Well,
but I don't know how big it is.
A perfect way for you to audition for the gig, you know?
Prove it.
All right. Hey, you want to be a vendor? All right. There you go. Let's see how you do.
You have the first quarter. You get the second. You get the third.
It's like it's just live auditions at the job fair. I mean, you know, just get right to it.
How quickly can we set up, break down, get out of here, set up the game? Let's go.
How many lemonades can you sell?
That's right. It's a total meritocracy. Whoever sells the most lemonades
wins.
You get the job. You win. We'll keep an eye on that one. So one way or another, we'll see if the Cardinals themselves play in that game. We know Kyler Murray will not play in that game. Cliff Kingsbury today confirming what you and I both thought was pretty obvious based off of his comments a couple of days ago, though it took reporters today a little bit of back and forth and some pulling teeth to get the information out of him.
Right now, if Kyler's going to play or not?
Yes. He will not play.
Is there a reason behind that?
Yes.
What is it?
I won't tell you. No, he's ready to go. Yeah, he's ready to go. He's a very good quarterback. He made the Pro Bowl last year, and I feel very confident in his abilities this year.
Okay, you know what? We didn't talk about this the last time.
Okay.
I think it's interesting that unprompted, he just wanted to remind everybody that Kyler Murray was a Pro Bowl quarterback a year ago. Almost as if to say, hey, man, he's earned it. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback from a year ago. I'm not saying he's justified in doing that. I'm just saying that was a very subtle yet present way of, hey, just so y'all think he hasn't
earned
it.
That's all you got. That's all you have.
He's a Pro Bowl quarterback from a year ago.
What else is he? He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. No, but what else is he? When he was on the Pro Bowl team. He didn't play the game. There was no game, but he was named for the Pro Bowl. There's nothing else. No Super Bowl champion. He's never won a playoff game.
Of course.
He's never been to
a playoff game. Yeah.
Never had a winning record. Like he's like this. It's a lot of things. Like that's what you have.
Sure.
I think it's just Cliff's way of saying, look, you know, we have respect for what he's done in this league. We're not going to play him. Like he's our quarterback. We're not going to get him hurt in a meaningless football game.
Totally agree.
You just can't say that, right? You can't say, I'm not going to get my guy hurt in a meaningless football game. NFL doesn't want to hear that. They're selling tickets for the game. Full price tickets, right? Jordan, full price? Yeah, full price.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't have the coaches come out and say it's a meaningless game. We don't care about it. We just want to get through it. And you can't say that. So the NFL doesn't care if you play guys or not. They just don't trash the game.
Yeah.
You don't want to play it. You don't want to play your quarterback. Great. Don't play anybody. Just don't bag on the game.
Yeah. Don't say
don't
that it's not worth it.
Tell the public that the game's not worth the price of admission.
Yeah. He went on to say that there's going to be lots of starters who don't play on Saturday.
Tomorrow morning we'll finalize, but we'll err on the side of being conservative.
Kind of backs up what we had thought, what we had suspected all along.
We have a car payment on that. He wasn't playing.
Yeah. In this new world order of the NFL and three preseason NFL games, that the preseason game number three, that's what preseason game number four used to be. The one that nobody played in. Right?
Yeah, that's what this game
three,
is. Preseason game number
yeah,
four.
Yeah, three is the new four in the preseason.
Yeah.
Three is the new four. No one's going to play in three.
Miami's announced that two is not playing. I would just be surprised if you see any starters in these games, in these final games. You're at the point now, man. You've got through a month of training camp. Your quarterback's not hurt. All these teams, not just the Cardinals. Man, why risk it? Like, my quarterback's got a month of practicing in, and he's played in a preseason game. If he didn't play very much, I'm good. I can't take the risk of him getting hurt in a meaningless football game with some guy that's trying to make the team on special teams, trying to make a big play on a tackle or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to – it's not worth it.
You know, and for those who would worry that long layoff, and we've talked a couple of times about that long layoff
sure.
and how long the layoff is, I think what Cliff said a couple of days ago is true, and what Kyler said about it a week ago is absolutely true. Hey, look, last year we didn't play any preseason games, and we started out in week one, and we were fine. You know, that there are some who would want you to believe that you've got to play in this game to shake off the rust, to give yourself some reps, to, you know, because you don't want to have that long layoff in between games because it's going to lead to a really bad week one performance. Well, last year there weren't any preseason games at all, and it wasn't a bad week one performance. Kyler was fine in week one. I think that element of to play or not to play in the preseason is vastly overrated. Like, oh, you're going to be terrible in week one of the regular season because you didn't play in the preseason. Man, I don't have anything to do with it.
People overvalue preseason games and undervalue practices. And as Kyler's pointed out, man, I'm going to get a lot more out of a practice for 2 hours than I am out of a preseason game. But people want to see the preseason games because the practices are, you know, you're going up against your other guys. But there's a lot to work on in a practice. Precise routes and timing and accuracy and all you get to work on something over and over again to get better at it. A preseason game, you're going to throw the ball 5 or 6, 7 times and you're going to get off the field. There's just nothing to gain out of a preseason game. It's very unlikely you're going to get better out of it.
Text the word Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports hosts and special guests. It's our Valley Virtual Series, and it's presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. We'll also be giving away college football tickets as well. Text the word Sparky to 620-620. Zaven Collins has been handed the keys to the Cardinals defense. What is life like for the rookie when he's around the man that he replaced? We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, she didn't make the Wetzel's Pretzels run because she's here to update the Twitter poll question of the day. Maybe she'll make that run after she updates the Twitter poll question of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's play a little.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Put your 5 o'clock update in the can and quick run to Wetzel's Pretzels for the rest of us.
Yeah. Can you guys just dub over for the D-backs update? And now the D-backs and the Phillies are in the bottom of the fourth.
I'll be happy to do that for
you. We'll just give it to you.
Yeah.
We'll give it to everybody.
Oh, perfect.
We'll tell them.
Sarah's voice. The Diamondbacks score is Burnsy's voice. 1-0 Arizona.
Honestly, I would love that. I'd listen to that for sure.
It would be funny, yes. All for Wetzel's Pretzels. That's not in our future because you have very important work to be done here. That includes updating our Twitter poll.
Okay, what your brothers say.
Yep.
Your work's important.
Oh,
no matter what your mother
brilliant.
No matter what your mother says, your work here is important.
No. Mom thinks work is important, but the brother
but
who
dad
works,
doesn't.
Yeah.
That's true. You've actually nailed it.
Wow, the truth,
exact dynamic.
The truth comes out when you're on the radio live, doesn't it? What's our poll question today, Sarah?
Incoming text message from Patty Cazell in three, two, and one. We'll wait for that screen to light up. In the meantime, we're talking about the news that the Pac-12 announced today that they will not be expanding. They are staying as is with their 12 universities. We're asking, do you agree with that decision not to make any moves right now? Three options for you to vote on. Yes, I agree with their decision because the Pac-12 is all set just as it is. Or yes, I agree with that decision because the options to add to the Pac-12 are not really all that exciting. Or the final option, no, I don't agree with their decision. I think they should have struck first.
Option two.
Yes.
Option two.
There just wasn't that many great options out there.
Yeah, there weren't great options. We rolled this question out 2 hours ago, and you were surprised by the number of people who were disappointed.
Yeah.
Is it still is it holding steady?
Mm-hmm. It is 43% of the vote saying they wish the Pac-12 had expanded.
Because of the excitement of something new. Yeah, ASU Cal gets tiring, and Oregon State and Washington State, and like if you had some new blood, Oklahoma State or BYU or Houston or
But expanding
Boise,
just for the sake of expanding, if there's no clear, like, oh, we need
BYU or whoever. It's not a need, it's a want. I mean, it would bring excitement. Hey, if ASU was playing Houston, all of a sudden, something new.
It's not even a want. It's just different. You know, it's like every single day I eat the same thing for lunch. Oh, look, here's something new for lunch. You know, and I think after a while, any excitement about adding Oklahoma State or TCU, it would have faded very fast, but it would have been an interesting news item to talk about today if the Pac-12 had announced that they were adding two new teams today. But
no nutritional value to that lunch,
though. There is no nutritional value to Oklahoma State or TCU.
If your mom makes seven lunches every day for a decade, and all of a sudden there's a new lunch introduced. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be excited for that day that you've got the new lunch.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly on Monday, chicken parm on Tuesday.
Wetzel's pretzels on Wednesday.
Yeah, like say they introduced Wetzel's pretzels. It's a new meal. You'd be excited about a new meal when you're so used to having the same meal over and over and over again.
What were the percentages on the other two?
So 43% for the people who were disappointed, 32% who said the options were underwhelming, so not that big of a deal, and then 25% say the Pac-12 was just fine as is. Mm. No changes need to be made. Okay.
Never bought lunch. My mother always made my lunch.
Really?
Meatball Palm Heroes. Mm. Yeah, prosciutto sandwiches. Ooh. Always had my lunches made.
That's well fed.
Mm. Go you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
For that, you think you could have at least rewarded them by doing well in school.
They're
going to make you lunch every day. At least do them a solid and try.
I had one of the best lunch boxes in school.
And there's shared it with Gina?
My Happy Days lunch box was filled to the max.
Oh, wow. That's solid. Cool. That's a good visual right there. Yeah. All right, that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo, one word. Give us a follow while you're there, if you would, please. Great way to interact with the show while we're on the air. Zaven Collins, rookie middle linebacker, Tulsa. Talking today at the end of camp, today was the final day of camp for the Cardinals, really got into how things are between him and Jordan Hicks.
Jordan, he's awesome. He's a great dude. He's a great man. He gives great advice every day, you know, things that we should look for, shouldn't look for, things that are important, not important, because he's been there and he's done that. He's actually been a great leader and role model for the team. He's absolutely been, you know, super helpful. And we have a good relationship. We try and work with each other every day. And there are certain packages where we're next to each other on the field all the time. So we're constantly working together.
It's good to hear because it had to be awkward. Had to be awkward.
Yeah, I mean, because Jordan Hicks wanted to trade. He wanted to go somewhere where he could play and have value. He still wants to make money in this league. It's not like he's 32 years old. I think he's still in his 20s. So he probably feels that I've got plenty of years left in my prime. I want to earn more money, but I'm not going to do it if I don't get to play. But they've found scenarios and packages in which it seems like he's going to play a decent amount with the other two young linebackers.
Yeah, it does. And certainly, even if he doesn't, it sounds like he's handled all of this, he being Jordan Hicks, he's handled all of this very, very well in terms of, and I got that vibe from him when he met with the media a few weeks ago. He spoke very honestly, very openly, and yet very professionally about his job on this team and kind of how he felt when he went down. So Zaven Collins was asked today if he and Jordan Hicks ever talked about it and kind of cleared the air.
I mean, yeah, we talked and stuff and everything's fine. And we were literally like nothing, you know, happened. We don't even think about that. We just think about, hey, what's this? What do we got to do here? And, you know, it's not like one of us is trying to one-up each other ever, because that's not the situation. It's we all as a team have a common goal, and that's to win. And we do that on the football field during practice. We do that in the meeting rooms. We do that on the field during the game.
Tell me if you're with me on this. There was a time when I probably felt, yeah, if you could get something for Jordan Hicks, get him. But as camp has gone by, and you've seen that he's got a role, and his role's pretty good, and he's been a good teacher for these guys, and they lean on him, and they've got packages designed where they'll have all three linebackers. You know, my feeling on trading him has just gotten a lot worse. I was like, I don't know that I want to trade him right now. I feel like, you know, I mean, obviously, if somebody offered you something too good to pass up, you're like, all right, listen, I got to take this. But I think that he might have a role in helping his team win football games this year.
I would agree with that. And there was I remember when they first drafted Zaven Collins and they first handed him the job without him doing anything at all to earn it other than being drafted. I remember thinking at that time, man, they're going to have to move Jordan Hicks. That's going to be weird and awkward, and they don't have to, but it just, what a weird situation to put a rookie without him earning it on the field. But now that camp is done and Jordan Hicks has been such a pro about it, and more importantly than that, there are packages in which Jordan Hicks is going to be on the field at the same time as Zaven Collins.
Yes.
Which and I want to see how much that happens, how often that happens. I'm with you. Look, there's always everything's for sale. Everything has a price. If somebody called up and offered you a second round pick for Jordan Hicks, you'd be crazy not to take it. A third round pick for Jordan Hicks, you'd be crazy not to take it. But at this point, knowing that those offers aren't going to come, if somebody calls and offers you a sixth round pick for Jordan Hicks, yeah, no thanks. It's because at this point,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. He's handling this role with professionalism. You need him around in case things get sideways with a rookie middle linebacker making his NFL debut. And it sounds like there's enough packages built into this that he's going to be on the field enough. If somebody calls and offers a sixth for him, no, I'll pass.
Fifth, no.
I'd rather have him.
Fourth, no. Does he have a role? Like, Vance knows, Cliff knows. What if he's got a prominent role in which he's going to play? Like, if you said, listen, he's going to play 10% of the snaps. All he is an insurance policy if somebody gets hurt. I could trade him, and then I could pick somebody up that got waived, that has experience as a linebacker, that could be my insurance policy.
Yeah.
Okay? I could get. But if you're saying, listen, we're going to play him. Like, he's going to play 25% of the snaps, 35% of the snaps. Okay? All right, then he's got a prominent role enough to where some of those draft picks are, they're not worth trading for him. It's not worth it.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he is expected to have a sizable role within the Cardinals' backfield alongside Chase Edmonds. And today, James Conner outlined how great of a fit he thinks he is in this offense. You'll hear from him coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. Going into the bottom of the second, Diamondbacks have a 2-0 lead over Philadelphia. I believe it was four straight singles that allowed the Diamondbacks to take a 2-0 lead over Philadelphia. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So the Diamondbacks up 2-0, Pavin Smith, Christian Walker, Josh Rojas, and Ellis back-to-back-to-back-to-back singles and a 2-0 lead for the Diamondbacks there. Before we talk about James Conner, something I meant to bring up earlier, and we talked about it during the reset, but for if you're just getting in your car, maybe you're just tuning in, Gambo with some interesting news from the Cardinals in regards to Andy Isabella and the battle at the right guard position. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I'm expecting that Andy Isabella's made this roster. I don't think this preseason game will have any bearing on whether he makes it or not. He's had some really good practices this week from what I've heard, and I expect that he's going to make this roster. I don't think he'll be traded. I do not expect that Andy Isabella will be traded. I do not think that he'll be cut. I mean, my expectations are that he will make this roster. I think he already has, so I don't think this preseason game is going to be the be-all, end-all for Andy Isabella.
Okay, and the right guard position?
I really think Josh Jones has got this thing locked up. I do. You got Brian Winters, you got Justin Murray, but the way he's played, Josh Jones, the second-year kid out of Houston, has been fantastic for them. He's been really good. I think he's one of their five best offensive linemen, which means he's going to play. So I think that don't be surprised if Josh Jones ends up being the starting right guard over Brian Winters and over Justin Murray.
Yeah, Winters and Murray haven't played a lot this preseason due to injuries and things like that. And Josh Jones, as you mentioned earlier, just taking advantage of that. We'll see, nothing official. And we'll see if they even play this preseason game on Saturday. There's a tropical storm expected to hit, to make landfall sometime this weekend. And because of that, the Saints and the NFL are trying to figure out whether they should even play this game or not in New Orleans. They released a statement about an hour ago to that effect. So that's something to keep an eye on. Okay, now to James Conner. This was Cliff Kingsbury a week ago. Said, look, I watched the tape. I knew about the player, but seeing him with my own eyes, James Conner is a much better pass catcher than I thought.
Better than I expected. I mean, I remember watching the film. He made catches, but he makes some big-time catches. And his route running ability in space is really good. He's more quick twitch than I anticipated. And so we really feel like we have two guys that can kind of do it all out of the backfield.
Here's James Conner today agreeing with what his head coach had to say
in the previous passing games, he wasn't utilized the right way.
Absolutely, wasn't utilized. And that was, kind of the thing going around. Even when I was a free agent, people not really paying much attention or not thinking that I was able to be a pass catcher and whatnot. But you put your head down on work, you grind at it, you practice it, and when you get opportunities in practice and games, you just need to make those plays. And I feel like I did that at this camp, and so. Which will cause coach to, say he's better than what I thought. So just got to make the most of your opportunities.
He's got 124 catches in his career. He had 55 catches in 2018, 34 in 19, 35 last year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You can throw the ball. You could swing the ball to him out of the backfield. He's going to catch the ball. He's got good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Him as a weapon in the, coming out of the backfield, like, he's got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's never averaged less than 4 yards a carry in his career. Never. His best was 4.5. His least was 4.0. It's never averaged, less than four yards a carry. So he's a good red zone guy. He's going to be great at the goal line when it's, when you're at the 1 yard line, a 2 yard line. But the ability to throw him the ball out of the backfield, it's very underrated because he's been a good pass catcher in his career.
Yeah, I think it's just the assumption that he has done it well in his career. It's this idea that he can't do it more because the assumption is that in Arizona he'll do it more than anywhere else he's been asked to do it in. But he said he knew exactly what he was signing up for when he joined Arizona.
Yeah, so I'm a football player, so I can just do more than just run the ball. Really feel I can impact games in a big way. But also it's just playing my role and just doing my job and coming here. I knew that they, you know what type of offense it was and, that I would be using the pass game as well as the running game. So just stay in my lane and do what I do, make plays.
I'll admit to this. When I start thinking about the additions the Cardinals made in the offseason, I almost always forget about James Conner. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's not expected to have a huge role, but I think about JJ. I think about AJ. I think about Malcolm Butler. I think about Zaven Collins. I think about Rondell Moore.
Rodney Hudson? Think about Rodney Hudson.
Yeah, I should think about Rodney Hudson.
You should think about Rodney Hudson.
Here's a hint from your Uncle Gambo. Think about Rodney Hudson. I will think about Rodney Hudson. I don't think about James Conner that much. And I don't mean that as any disrespect to him. It's just not the first name I think of. It's not the second name I think of.
That was also not a priority for them. There were just so many guys at that running back position that they were looking to get somebody completely on the cheap. And so that wasn't, they didn't go out and get a running back right away. There was a lot of running backs that we ran through the names, and I can't remember all of the names, but we were going through the names with the running backs. And there were guys that they liked, and they just passed those guys by for the simple fact that, hey, those guys want money. We're not going to pay those guys any money. James Conner came very later. He came after a lot of those things. So there were running backs that they looked at, running backs that they liked, but in the end, they waited and waited and waited and waited, and when there were no options left for James Conner, the Cardinals swooped in and grabbed him.
And I guess what made me think about that is you rattling off his stats. I'm of the two of us on this show, I'm the one who undersells running backs every chance I get, right? Don't want to pay him, don't want to draft him high, don't want to commit tremendous resources. So maybe that's why I'm not thinking about James Conner that much. But when you rattle off his stats like that, James Conner, though early in his career, has had a really good NFL career so far as a running back in this league.
He has.
He's healthy.
On April 2nd, I tweeted this out on April 2nd. Only name I can see left at running back that would fit the Cardinals' needs in free agency is James Conner. I usually don't tweet those things out. There's a hint there. The only name I could see left at running back that would fit is James Conner. That was April 2nd. A couple days later, he ends up signing. That was, there were other guys that they looked at, but in the end, they weren't going to pay money for a running back. They weren't going to pay good money for a running back, so they waited to see what the market brought to them, and the market brought James Conner to them because other teams passed on him too.
Yeah. When you talk about the running back position, and if they do play this preseason game this weekend in New Orleans, one of the main reasons to watch will be the battle for the third running back spot between Eno Benjamin and Jonathan Ward. It's expected they're both going to get a lot of reps and that most of the starters, Conner and Chase Edmonds, et cetera, won't play very much, if at all. How are those two handling the third running back competition so far?
Anybody is in a competition, there's nothing to hide. There's room for everybody to make plays. There's room for everybody to eat, And so there's no point of having the competition and life is always between you and you, you know, and just being better than where you were yesterday. So, you know, can't worry about what the guy to your left and your right is doing now. When you're in a team setting, you know, and everybody, you know, in the game of football, people need to play as one. You know, O-line, QBs, all that, everybody needs the same page. But as far as a competition, that should always be, you know, between you and you and you. So with Eno and Jonathan, you know, they each do their own thing, make their plays, and that's all they can control. And so with friends first.
The competition should always be you versus you.
I love that line.
Not you versus the other guy. You versus
I love
you.
That line. Do the best you can. Let the chips fall where they may. I mean, do the best you can. Battle every day. Try to improve. Try to get better. Try to show your worth to this team. You know, we always look at it like a competition between two guys. It's interesting. Their angle is more of, hey, it's, you know, look, you against you. But battle yourself every day and be the best you can.
Sexist, your thoughts on the Cardinals roster and the preseason finale. The FanDuel text line is open to you at 620-620 right now. That's the FanDuel text line. Text us whatever you want at 620-620, and we'll read the best ones on the air. In trying to fix the mistakes of last season, is Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals depending too much on the leadership of their new veteran players? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.